Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley. It's nice to see all of you on this first Sunday in Advent with no snow. Just a couple announcements this morning. First of all, today's the last day if you want to order memorial poinsettias. So the sign-up sheet is still on the back table. If you want to do that, please sign up today. Also, there's still a sign-up sheet for people who want to participate in lighting the Advent candles. There's been a lackluster response to that request, so maybe after you watch it today, see how it goes, you'll feel more comfortable to sign up, because we have, after today, 3 more weeks still available, so please think about signing up for that. Also, mark your calendars for next Sunday, the 10th, is our annual congregational meeting. It will be immediately after the worship service, and we will be presenting the budget, we will be presenting the pastor's call, and we will be presenting a slate of officers and nominations for the coming year. So please come and be prepared to participate in the activities for the coming year. The week after that, the following Sunday, the 17th, we will be celebrating the annual Baby Jesus birthday party. We will have a potluck lunch, so please bring a covered dish to share, a side, a salad. Meat will be provided by the Christian Ed Committee, and you do not need to bring your own dishes, so we will have that. Sometimes that was the one year we always brought our own dishes, but we don't have to do that anymore. Just bring a covered dish. And also, I don't know how to tell you this, because if everybody brings a dozen cupcakes, everybody will be taking a dozen cupcakes back home again. But if you could bring 6 or 8 cupcakes, or if you can partner with somebody else and say, between the two of us, I'll bring the dozen, you don't need to bring any, but we would like people to bring some cupcakes to celebrate baby Jesus' birthday. Those of you who know how the church operates know that we like heavy on the icing, light on the cake. So, you know, please take that into consideration when you're taking in your cupcakes. We'd like to deal with that. Also an announcement, Dave and Jean Yeager proudly invite you to attend the Eagle Scout Court of Honor for their son, Bradley William Yeager. That will be held here in the sanctuary next Saturday, December 9th. I guess that's right, yes. At 2 o'clock. Everybody is invited to attend, but they do need a head count. So if you would like to attend, please see Carol Schreiber. Let her know that you will plan to be here for that. Finally, many of you have probably heard, but some of you may not have heard, that Kristen has COVID. She was diagnosed Wednesday morning, and she is on Paxlovid, and she says it's a mild case, but she's still not feeling real great, and she will not be here on Monday, that's tomorrow, she will not be here tomorrow, and she will be here the rest of the week. She will be masking and trying to maintain distance until she tests negative. So please keep her in your thoughts, and if you need anything, you can reach her by email or text message, or you can reach out to any member of session. So that being said, Wednesday morning we had a little bit of a panic when Kristen had COVID, but we want to thank Ingrid for being available and being willing to pinch hit at the last minute. We're very happy to have her with us today, and we welcome her. And with that, let us worship.
It is indeed a blessing to be here with you, especially on this first Sunday in Advent. And I'd invite you to follow along in your bulletin with our call to worship. Christ is coming.
We will be ready.
Christ is coming.
We will be ready.
Christ is coming. He will gather his people from the ends of the earth.
Praise be to God. We will worship and prepare.
And stand if you are able as we sing our opening hymn, Now the Heavens Start to Whisper.
Thank you.
us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we become distracted, even weary in our discipleship. We keep busy schedules, we rush about, captivated by technology, seduced by the lure of consumer goods. We do not remain alert to your divine presence in our lives, in the church, in the world. Make us better doorkeepers of our lives, watching for you attentively. Awaken us to your surprising power and glory and peace, so that we do not miss how near you are to our very own gates. Be gracious to us, we pray, until we are gathered from the end of the earth to the ends of heaven into your embrace. The grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus strengthens us to the end so that we may be blameless when Christ comes again. Thanks be to God, who is faithful and has called us into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Confess together the faith of our baptism. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with some sign of God's peace and love. And members of our choir will come forward now to light our Advent candle for this morning.
Our hope. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. candle. The first candle reminds us that Jesus is our wonderful counselor who brings hope to a hurting world. As our counselor, Jesus brings hope in time of despair, compassion in times of sorrow, and healing in times of brokenness. As we begin the season of Advent, let our hope reside in one who cares about our needs and sustains our faith. We thank you for being our wonderful counselor. As we begin our Advent journey, help us to know the abiding hope that comes from knowing you. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. And as many of you say about this church, you are exceptionally wonderful at joining together in prayer. And so now we do move to another time of prayer. Prayers for the people of this church and prayers for people throughout the world. Just want to lift up BJ and Peggy, who are under the weather, and Pastor Kristen, of course, too. And I noticed something that when I was introducing the Advent candle, the way that you make a visitor feel, did you notice? It just came out, and I said, and now a member of our choir will come forward. And I am not, unfortunately, a member of your church, but yet that, I believe, is how you make people feel right when we walk through the door. So thank you for showing Christ's radical welcome and hospitality to all who enter these doors. Let us pray together, first in silence, and then I'll lead us. O loving Creator, we enter this new church year with wreaths and song and chrismons and lessons. The very coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is near. Stir up in us a yearning heart, an open mind, and spirit seeking your spirit as company for our journey this Advent. May on that day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, when it finally comes, may we also find that he has been born anew in each of us. Redeemer Jesus Christ, you have come and yet you are coming. You have been here from the beginning, and you have been here in time, and now you come to us in this very hour. You remind us about yet another day, another hour, another coming of when no one knows the moment except for our Creator God, your Father, and you told us to be ready. And we pray that we might have your power stirred up in us to prepare. We come before you, Holy Spirit, and all other spirits that would rob us of the joy of Jesus' coming. We reject those. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would drive out the fearful decisions, the worry that makes us hold back from radically embracing your empowering love. Help us rid ourselves from all the temporal and earthly concerns of this season so that we might truly focus on God incarnate, God in flesh, and God for real. For God, we know that you are with us now. And may on this day, BJ and Peggy and Kristen, and all those whose names are not spoken aloud but are known to you, may they feel your presence and your healing in a real and tangible way. And we lift up to you those broken parts of our homes and our lives and our city and our world and our country that are in need of your peace. We yearn, O God, for the day when nations shall beat their swords into plowshares, and we yearn for the day when all can walk the gentle light of Christ. We look to Jesus, who lived another way and taught a different lesson. And we thank you, loving God, that we know that the day will come when your will is done on earth as it is in heaven in all times and all places. We lift all of this up to you and the unspoken concerns of our hearts in the name of Jesus the Christ. Let us stand together and say the Lord's Prayer, which I am sorry, I did build that into our communion time too, so we'll get to say it twice today, and then follow with our hymn of meditation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing together. Please be seated. Let us worship God with our tithes and our offerings.
Scripture reading today comes from Mark 13, 24 to 37 from the New Revised Standard Version. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
And we thank God for the gift of God's holy word. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I begin my sermon today with a sentence that I bet maybe you yourself say, you know, at least a few times a week, maybe. So I was down at the Giant Eagle, right? And I was at the Giant Eagle, and I saw a mom pushing her daughter in the shopping cart. And I was sort of, it was one of those deals where you were sort of following the same people, you're all on the same path, and we're in the cookie aisle, and the little girl was probably 3, maybe 4 years old, I'm not sure. And she said, "Mommy, can we have cookies?" You know, and mom said no, and the little girl started to whine and cry and just generally fuss about. And the mom very quietly, she said, "Now, Melissa, please understand, it's not going to be that much longer. Don't get upset. We only have half the aisles to go through. It's going to be okay." And so then I followed mom and baby into the candy aisle. And of course, when they got to the candy aisle, again, little girl, seeing all that candy, you can't blame her, right? "Oh, please, Mom, can we have this? Can we have this?" And she was really upset. She was throwing even the other things out of the cart right now, all that good for you stuff. And Mom said, "Melissa, I'm telling you, dear, just don't cry, don't get upset, everything's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be fine. Try not to be upset, Melissa, okay? Just 5 more minutes." And then, of course, I'm behind them in the checkout line, and there's the gum, and there's all the impulse buys. And one more time, the little girl's very upset because she can't have the Kinder Joy, you know, that kind of thing. And she's, and that's when the mom says, "Melissa, 5 more minutes. That's all it's going to be. And then we can go home and take a nap. Melissa, just hang on." And so I followed them out into the parking lot, you know, and I said, "I really just want to share my admiration for you because, you know, I've never been a mom, but the patience that you showed little Melissa, that was just absolutely wonderful." And the mom looked at me and said, "I'm Melissa. My daughter's Tiffany." Yeah, that's quite good. Good. But be patient. Be patient. Hold on, right? It's so easy just to wait. It's so easy just to take a deep breath and calm down, isn't it? Isn't that just, it's just so easy. When somebody says to you, you know, just wait, that's what we love to hear, isn't it? Right? We love to hear that. And since the 5th century, they've been saying, patience is a virtue. Good things come to those who wait. But it doesn't make it any easier, I don't think. In fact, a whole Texas, like, healthcare system, they did this whole study to figure out ways that it would be easier for patients to pass that waiting time. What would make it less stressful? What would make patients less irritated? And the key was, if the patients could know how long they had to wait, that made the difference. Because, you know, as soon as you tell a child or you tell another adult you're gonna have to wait, our next question is, well, how long? How long do I have to wait? And there's something to that psychology. It makes it easier if we are told, apparently, just how long that wait is going to be. Think about the last time that you were on hold. Have you been on hold? And very often now they will say, expected wait time is 10 minutes, or expected wait time is 3 days. Right, exactly. And sometimes they don't tell you, they just say, you could leave a callback number and we'll get back to you next year. Sometimes they do that, it's really. But usually they will tell you what the expected wait time is. And I like that. That does help me because then I feel I have a little bit more control. Okay, I can wait 10 minutes, right? The worst thing for me is whenever I ask the question, well, how long? And somebody says, soon. How long till we get there? Soon. Arr. When will dinner be ready? Soon. Arr. When's the cable guy coming? Soon. And then there's much more difficult questions, you know? When will I find out if I got the job or not? Soon. When will the test results be back from the medical procedure? soon. When will God's will finally be done on earth as it is in heaven? Soon. But when? God's people have been asking this question forever. The Psalms are filled with this question. How long, O Lord? The prophets, Habakkuk, how long, O Lord? How long? And if you've ever been to, I don't recommend the website, but raptureready.com, we know that there are a lot of organizations and people out there who like to look in Scripture and find ways to look for signs and tell exactly when the Son of Man is coming back. We try to do that. We want to know. We want to predict. And now, today, we come to the beginning of Advent, and again, it's a period of waiting. We're at the beginning of the church year. This is now year B, Happy New Year. And we're at the end of another standard time year. And I don't know about you, but I look around and the world is in so much turmoil. And here you are, you poor dears, you have a guest minister this morning, and how many of you are pessimists? Anybody a pessimist? I'm a pessimist. Anybody an optimist? I'm not an optimist. I want to be. In fact, I'm not even a pessimist. I'm what Anderson Cooper calls a catastrophist. Yeah. So when I read this morning's passage, I couldn't believe it. I groaned. And I thought about this all week. I thought, great, it's the first Sunday of Advent. All is calm, all is bright. This Sunday of Advent is about hope. Yeah, right. Look how it starts off. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Now, I know there's more to the passage, but for some reason, I got stuck there this week. And I was complaining about it to my friend Joyce, and she's definitely an optimist. I think she's a little bit of a Pollyanna. And I'm going on and on about how I'm just really worried about preaching this Sunday, you know, at Fair Oaks and here. And I'm going on and on about how this is supposed to be the Sunday of hope. And this is the lectionary text. I said, you're not going to believe it. You're going to hear it when you go to Bethlehem Lutheran. You're going to hear it. And she said, oh, well, let me read it. And so she read it. And she looked at me like I had lost my mind. And she said, what are you talking about? This is beautiful. This is about hope. And I said, what? Read it again. And so I did. I read it again. I read the beginning. But in those dark days after that, the suffering, the sun will be darkened and it won't. And then I just went on my rant. I said, hope, what are you talking about? This is right now where we're living, and all the doomsday sayers are right. There's war in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in Sudan. There's systemic racism, the rise of fascism around the world, addiction, depression. Your mom is sick, and Charlie's son is depressed. And she took my hands, and she looked at me very calmly, and she said, yes. But read it all. Keep reading. This passage is all about hope. And I read it again. Son of Man descending, angels, God's power. Okay, tender fig leaves, yeah. And I looked at her, and I wanted to say, remember, I'm your boss. But I didn't. I said, okay, that's great. This is all going to be wonderful stuff, but when? And then she said something that I know is true, but I'd forgotten it. She said, it's now. And I thought, this Joyce, she is going through so much more than I'm going through. She reminded me of the powerful signs of Christ's reign, of God's love that are right here, right now, even in the midst of the mess. But it's the both and. She reminded me that in the Sunday school class that we're in, we're reading this great book. It's called Barking to the Choir. If you want a very uplifting book, it's by Jesuit priest Gregory Boyle. And he, 30 years ago, started the largest gang rehabilitation and prison reentry program in the world. It's called Homeboy Industries. And they have more than 10,000 ex-gang members going through their doors every year, discovering the worthiness of themselves and discovering the way that they are given the power to transform their lives by remembering that they are children of God. And then she reminded me about the parent circle. Have you heard of them? I had not either. Oh, I had heard about it and then I forgot in my catastrophism. The parent circle. They were formed in the late 1990s by Israeli and Palestinian parents whose children have died in the ongoing fighting over the years. And they are more active now today in this current part of the terrible crisis that is going on than they have been before. And they have a joint vision for a just peace through nonviolent means for all Palestinians and Israelis. And we were at the library and she said, and look in the faces of every Yaya that's here, of every Mimi, of every Mommy, and every Daddy and Auntie who brings these precious kids to story time at the library. She told me that when I go to Fair Oaks today at the assisted living where I'm chaplain, she said, look into the eyes of each and every one of your people that I know you love. She told me to look at the rising sun and into the beauty of the dark night. And I was humbled into silence. And I did remember something that Greg Boyle had written. He said that we often hear the adage, when one door closes, another door opens. But the truth is, in between, there's often a hallway. And sometimes that hallway is quite long. And sometimes that hallway can feel like a hellway. And our job is to line the hallway for one another and make that wait from the old to the new easier to navigate. Because we're all in different parts of the hallway, and sometimes that hallway can feel like heaven and sometimes it can feel like hell, and yet we are all with one another. And our God is encircling us all. My friend Danny, she has three little boys now, and they are just full of energy, and they are not full of patience. And when they whine, when will dinner be ready? She says to them, boys, dinner will be ready. I'm getting it ready now. I promise you, you'll get your dinner. You can either help me, and dinner will come faster, or you can keep on whining, and it will take as long as it will take. And if you help, dinner will get done faster. And the boys help. We are waiting. We are waiting. And like we already have prayed, like we pray every week, we pray, our Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is done often, sometimes. But that day is coming when God's will always be done on earth as it is in heaven. And until that day, we, as Christ's hands and feet, can help one another out and help alleviate the stress and the hell of that wait until all is calm and all is bright. Amen. Let us sing together, "Break Thou the Bread of Life."
Took the bread on the night he was betrayed, he blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way then, Jesus, after supper, took the cup, he blessed it, shared it with his disciples, saying, "This cup that is poured out is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And each time we come to this table, God's table, we remember this mystery of faith. Pour out your Spirit, O God, on these gifts. Give us a taste of resurrection hope that lasts through even the most challenging of hours. Meet us in this bread and this cup, and hear the prayers of your people in this aching world. O come, Emmanuel, in collective longing for a taste of your kingdom on earth. We join together and echo the prayer of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God, we recognize the ways you still make yourself vulnerable in us today. In gratitude for a taste of your kingdom, may our discipleship shape us into the fierce protectors of the vulnerable. Give us courage to practice our own vulnerability, and help us to honor the steadfast sacredness of our need for one another and you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And let us sing together our final hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descend.
Love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.